Wanted also to, last week we had the conference, and so it was a little discombobulated. If you were involved in any manner in that conference, will you stand up for us? Just stand up. Okay, come on. I know there's more. Is that it in this one? Thank you. Thank you guys for your labor. All right, we're going to start with the video, and then I will be back. Ourselves and being part of a community of believers, and so it's very easy for us to isolate ourselves and then wonder why we're isolated. Right? Isn't that funny? Isn't that how it always goes? So, you know, the problem is we do say no, even covering up like he was saying or whatever it may be, to a lot of spiritual things when it should be yes in our life. And so today I want to talk about saying yes, yes to what God wants for us, because he shares with us. He gave his son. He gives his resources to us. He pays us back when we lend to him, and I'm going to explain that in a little bit, and he wants us to be like him. And, you know, when we say that we want, he wants us to be like him, we think, well, we can't be, right? Isn't that the first reaction? We can't be like God. Oh, yes, we can. There are so many things about God that we can be like. Can we be perfect? No. I don't know if we could, but we probably don't. And it would be a real tough thing. But I think what God's saying when he says, be like me, he means in a giving way and a serving way and that kind of thing. Because who is the best server of people in the galaxy? It's got to be God, isn't it? And so we're on a series in Proverbs called Living Wisely. And today it's living wisely about sharing with others. Now, I actually gave a sermon on giving when we changed over to a box rather than offering bags. But this is different. And so I think you'll see this is different, because I'm not talking about giving to the church, even though we need that, don't we? To support the church and all its function. But let me just tell you this story. Several years back, on my way over to meeting with a leader, I went to the Taco Bell off bridge and to pick up some lunch for the other guy and I. And I passed a young man as I was walking down the sidewalk in, and he was obviously a vagrant. And he was sitting on the sidewalk, and I stopped, and he looked familiar to me. He had a sleeping bag and a couple of gym bags, and then a blanket he was stuffing clothes in. And as he's stuffing clothes in, the clothes would fall out in a different spot. And so he was working really hard to get all this together. And finally, our eyes met, and I thought, I know him. And finally, he recognized me, and we recognized each other, and he had come to this church for a while, and I actually did some discipleship and counseling with him because he really was having a hard time in his marriage. And he wanted to go into youth work, and he came here, and then finally he got a job with the church here in town doing youth work. And so he had done that for a while at this other church, but he just had tremendous marriage problems when I talked with him. And I warned him, I said, man, you ought not to do this. You ought to get your marriage squared away before you start thinking about doing a youth ministry. Well, it kind of played out that way. So he looked up at me and said, do you remember me? And I said, yeah, I do. I responded with a smile, and I asked him if he was all right, you know, because he was obviously living on the streets, and this kid had a job and a wife and, you know, that kind of thing. And he was upbeat, and he was fine, you know. Don't we all say when somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine, when we're not fine. And he said, I'm just waiting for my Taco Bell order. And I said, okay. I said, you know, and so I went in and ordered my food, and I ordered some extra, and I came out and I said, you know what, I ordered too much food. Would you like some of the food? And he said, no, I'm fine. I just have to pick up my food. And I'm headed over to a friend's house. And while he's still stuffing into that blanket, he simply wouldn't take the food. And I broke my heart because I know he's hungry. He's sitting at Taco Bell for a reason, right? But because he knew me and knew I was a pastor and we'd had the time together, embarrassment, pride, all those kind of things went into play. You know, it's funny how we are programmed not to receive, right? It always seems easier to give than it is to receive. And yet at the same time, a lot of times we don't receive or give out. And so his situation plagued me, and I walked over to my motorcycle, and I realized I can hardly get his bag, sleeping bag, and his bags all on my motorcycle to take him over to his friend. So there's really nothing I could do, but I wanted to help the guy, and but he didn't want it. He didn't want it. He was embarrassed, and you know, and so when you know someone is really in legitimate need, really legitimately, don't you want to help? Yes. I mean, I think we all have that Christian heart, that love heart, that we want to help when we know it's legitimate. So this morning, I want to build a foundation for sharing, because what happens is we find very few legitimate cases. They always don't spend their money right. They always don't do this or they don't do that. And then it's easy for us to go to, well, the Lord's leading me in another direction, right, type of thing. So I want to give you four reasons why it's wise for us to share our resources with other people in need. And here's the first reason for sharing. Sharing demonstrates God's kindness. Let's read the Proverbs together, and I'm going to read the underline. He who has pity on the poor, to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given. Did you get that? And he will pay back what you've given. Now, I have found that to be absolutely true in my life. I don't know if you're a giver much, but it's pretty amazing what God does. And so, but when he says that, he says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. So there's a bunch of he's there. And we might say this, and God will pay back what you have given because you have lent it. Now think about this for a minute. You have lent it to the Lord. Do you believe that? Pity here means to be gracious and generous, not just being sorry for them. It's gracious and generous, motivated action, not just thinking about it, because how many times have you thought, you know, I need to do this, and that's the end of it. And part of the reason is that when you are motivated to do it, you get a certain euphoria just thinking that. And sometimes we think it, and then we think somehow we did it when we haven't. And I know those opportunities have passed in my life, and I think, well, why didn't I do it? I felt good about it. I was ready to go. I'm sure you felt the same thing. And so I created a phrase for myself. Talking it is cheap, but doing it reaps. Yeah, I mean, it's just something that I say to myself. Talking is cheap, doing it is reaps. Because we reap when we do it. When we talk it, it's just cheap air talk. And we could talk about it, even making promises in our mind, and we get that good feeling from it, but follow through. Doing it is what counts with God. And I think that often holds us back is that we fear what we give will be used wrongly. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, I've seen people in trouble. I mean, just to show you, and you probably felt the same way. I know a couple are having a real tough time, and they walk through the door, and they come with a $5 Starbucks coffee in each of their hands, and I'm thinking, I can't do that. You know, I don't. And you realize they're spending their money in the wrong way, and that's why they're poor. And yet, what does God say? If we lend it, he will pay it back. I don't have to worry about the Starbucks in their hand. I don't have to worry about that, or they're having an issue. And I think we all can look at that, because I think we've been duped and suckered into thinking that people are either on the take, and that we have these circuit people that come around to the church, and if I give to one, they're all there. Pretty soon there are two or three a week coming. And I understand that. But on the other hand, I think we think that we're supporting them that keeps them from really coming to grips with things. And I think those decisions have to be made in our life for a good reason. But if you can hear this, then please hear this. You and I cannot control the outcome. Let me say it again. You and I cannot control the outcome or the worthiness of whether they need to be given to or not given to. And when you share what you have with the person, here is the justification. God shared his love in us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us, right? Did we deserve salvation? Did we even come close to deserving salvation? No. But he sent his son before we took our first breath to save us. Now that's giving. God gives to us, but we certainly don't deserve it. You know, it was funny because last week we sang a song called Reckless Love about God. You know what song that is? A beautiful song. And so afterwards, a few people from this convention came up to me and said, well, I don't like that song. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, God's not reckless. Well, we know that, don't we? He has planned recklessness, is the way I look at it. Well, I mean, when you stop to think about this for a minute, he has grace, and he forgives at no cost. And we sometimes think, well, there's no way he could forgive me for that, and he does. And he offers salvation. He loves his enemies. They would kill him if it was a possibility to kill him, and he loves them. And he waits for them. And he loves us and believes the best in us through his grace rather than condemning us by his law. And I look at that, and someone besides God, if they did that, they would be reckless, wouldn't they? And so when we sing about his recklessness, we think, wait a minute, I think we need to become a little more reckless, don't we? In our grace towards others. God gives at his expense purposeful recklessness. And when you give or share with someone, you are not giving to them. Do you realize that? You are not giving to them. God says you're lending to him. And I love that. You know, another example is years ago, when we were over at Heritage Academy, we had a men's group, and we found out through a few people that this lady had three kids. She was an illegal, and she had three kids, and she lived in the basement of this house, and I went and visited her, and she had three, and her husband was having an affair and was in the process of divorcing her, but he wasn't going to give her any child support, because if he did, or if she asked for child support, he was going to expose her and send her back to Mexico. And so we paid her rent because she had no money, no food. We brought food over even. And then the next month, she was in the same place, and we paid her again. And the third month, we paid the rent, and we just told her, look, we can't keep paying. We're not your husband. You've got to make a move here to do something. And we talked about that. So about, maybe a month later, 3 weeks, a month later, one of our people went over to Alma's home when they were located on Bridge, and her husband were sitting on the steps holding hands and talking, and as they passed, they said, isn't that great that Harvest was stupid enough to pay our rent for 3 months? And man, that was hard. I didn't even know what to tell the men's group. It was just amazing because they just happened to be talking about that while this member passed, and they came to me and talked to me. And you know, I just want you to think about that. Now, that's a ripoff, isn't it? So I want you to turn to someone next to you and tell me what your first reaction is to that kind of news. Just go. You got 30 seconds. Okay, I can see most of you didn't do it. Okay, how does it make you feel?
Sad.
Yeah, bad. What other emotions? Huh? Angry, yeah, angry. Anybody else? Does that pretty much sum it up? Feel bad, feel taken, gypped, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. What's God saying our reaction should be? Huh? Yeah, and we lent to the Lord. We paid 3 months of the Lord's rent, so to speak. And what is his answer to that? He pays us back. So that became a deeper lesson to us than the original lesson. The original lesson was, let's learn how to give. The second one, it doesn't matter who we give to or how they utilize it, because we're lending to God, not to man. Isn't that a cool deal? And so it took all the anger out of it, and it's like, okay, they got to live with that. They got to live with that. We are lending to God. And we were pretty discouraged and bummed for a while, but you know what? Until this proverb came to mind and taught us the deeper lesson, we are lending to the Lord. Now, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want us to hear this, folks. This is the core. We lend to the Lord rather than to the person, and God pays his bills. Right? God pays his bills. And he's the one that said that we're lending to him. So if the person misuses what you intended to do for God, God makes it right in your life. He gives it back. So it takes us to number two. Sharing opens ourselves to blessings. Sharing doesn't just help the other people. It also helps us. It helps us to grow in attitude. Let's read this one together. He who gives to the poor... Can you repeat that? He who gives to the poor will not lack. Do you believe the Bible? Yeah. But he who hides his eyes... Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, you think that God, after looking, I mean, right now he's looking at 7.5 billion people, okay, on the earth, and do you think he gets it? What's going on, and that people jerk us around and that kind of, I think he does. There's a contrast in this proverb between giving to the poor and closing our eyes to the poor, or the hurting, or whatever it may be. A curse in the Old Testament, that's what he used, we'll have many curses. The curse in the Old Testament referred to a sign of God's judgment in each of those places. So a curse is the opposite of a blessing, so I'm going to call it an anti-blessing, okay? We get blessings and we get anti-blessings, all right? So we who share what we have receive blessings. Well, we who refuse to share receive anti-blessings. Paul says it probably best. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. They will reap anti-blessings, not blessings. And he who sows bountifully, richly, will also reap bountifully blessings, right? Now, please don't misunderstand. This verse is not a program to build wealth. That's not what God had in mind. Well, that's where our head goes, right? It goes right away. I mean, I've heard so many people go, I believe in that verse because God's going to make me rich. You hear pastors that say, hey, give it back and you'll get it 100-fold and all this kind of thing. That's missing the whole point. I'd say I don't need to drive a Cadillac, but I actually do. It's about our heart, friends. Giving rather than getting. It's about God supplying what you need to give again and again and again. Which brings us to our third point. Sharing with others counteracts our craving. Let's read this verse together. The desire of the lazy man kills him.
His hands refuse to labor.
He covets greedily all day long.
But the righteous gives and does not spare.
Wow. I'm telling you, these are wild verses, aren't they? I mean, when you look at what God's saying, he's so clear and he's so straightforward on it. And notice the focus on coveting in these verses. The word covet simply means to desire something selfish. Now, there's a lot of times when we desire something. That's not necessarily coveting. It's when it's selfishly motivated. Coveting refers to a focus on what you do not have, being unsatisfied with what you do have. And I look at it and we have so much, don't we? And yet we're so afraid we're going to lose something or not gain something, and we need more and more and more. And so we get into this mode of thinking that we just don't have enough to meet our needs. It's this coveting, this craving that rules the lazy man. But people who love God and walk with God and share their resources are almost unaffected by that craving. A lot of times we think, boy, I wish I didn't want all this stuff. Well, start giving it away. That's how it goes away. It's hard to be selfish when you're unselfish at the same time. Giving is an antidote for craving, and sharing is an antidote for coveting. In fact, giving is the only remedy that I see in the Bible for coveting. So let's go to number four. Sharing creates an abundant attitude. And let's read the scripture here. And I'm going to read this, and you just read the underline. He who gives to the poor
will not lack,
but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. He who has pity, means giving, has pity on the poor, lends to the Lord, and he, God, will pay back what he, the person, have given. So here's the conclusion. We've focused on sharing our money, but the reality, and maybe our other resources, but the reality is we have lots of resources besides money, right? I mean, I look at my garage, and see if you see this. I look at my garage. There's things I bought 2 years ago that are still in the plastic package. Because I haven't used it. I didn't really need it. I just thought maybe at some point I might need it. And I know you have the same thing. If you looked in your garage, you could probably make a fortune just doing a garage sale. You know, getting on Marketplace or something like that. And when we look at it, we have a lot. And yet there's other people who don't have a lot that are hurting, and they may misuse their funds, they may spend it in the wrong places, whatever they may do. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We lend to God. I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of person. Don't you? And you may be mulling this over, thinking, well, wait a minute, see, I got all this, this attitude of scarcity is what kills us inside as a Christian. We have that attitude of abundance. Like, I look at it and I always have this attitude of, man, I have more than what I need. Why do I need all this stuff? Some ways I'd like to buy a shack so I can't take it with me, right? Just get rid of it. I think it's always funny because when somebody moves, every time they say, I forgot what it takes to move, right? And then when you're trying to move, it takes days and days to get moved out because you have so much stuff stored that you haven't looked at in a couple years, and and that kind of thing. And you look at that and you think, wow, I want to be the person God wants me to do. And I suspect that if you're a Christian, you feel exactly the same way. I see your heads nodding. That's who you want to be. So last week we had this conference, and from a giving resources, time, and that kind of thing, to me, I marveled at what happened. It was amazing what happened during that time because so many people were involved in sharing their time and working that I can't tell you how many people came up in that conference, probably everybody, but I just continually, person after person, they said, man, this is a beautiful building, and I can't believe what your volunteers are doing. And the food was, never had food as good in a convention as what we've had here. And to watch your people go around and move it and straighten it out and clean it up and move it. So we're just awestruck. In fact, I think every pastor goes, you know what, I was just thinking, we could do lights in the back of our, you know, well, why'd they say that? Because we built that side of the church finally, right? And it looks beautiful. And then they watched how we put up the umbrellas and the tables and we served food and that kind of thing. It was so impressive to them that every one of them went back. One pastor said, I'm in a storefront building and I can't do it. And he said, it's killing me. I'm going to start looking for a new building. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because all those who worked gave of their resources. And that particular one was time. Time that they could have been out on a lake or time that they could have been on vacation or something. Instead, they came and served the people and walked around with waters and that kind of thing and served these people. I'd say I want to be those kind of people, but we are. We are. And I appreciated the generosity. I stood back and watched. Usually I'm in the middle of it. But this particular time, because we had worked so hard getting that thing fixed, I was worn out when that convention started. And so I just sat back and watched what was happening. And I thought, wow, we can give of our resources. Time here, people were pitching in money to buy food. That kind of thing, and it was just amazing. And this verse came to mind, and I want to close with this verse. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. Who is his incredible gift? Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus Christ away. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift, because God shared with us his only Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, help us not to look at this as though we are trying to separate people from their money or their goods. Lord, help us to be like you, a giver, a giver, a giver, and help us to understand that when we give, we're lending to you, and you're going to give it back so we can do it again. And I know for people that I've talked to in this church that share their resources, whatever they may be, Lord, you give it back. I mean, so many people say, you can't outgive God, you can't outgive God. And Lord, I think there's a truth to that. You always pay back. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Help us all here to share our resources with those in need when we see it, when you prompt us in our hearts to do something. Lord, help us to do that without thinking whether they deserve it or not, that we just are putting it in your bank. And you're going to give it back. We thank you for that. Our heads are still bowed. You may have come this morning. You may not have a relationship with God. And I want to talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, you can be saved by believing he's Lord and that he rose from the dead. And it will change your life.
So I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray along with me if today is the day you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. With head still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business. Let us start praying for you. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Anybody this morning need Christ in your life? Father, we thank you so much. Oh, your love is so amazing. Lord, we look at it when we blow it, when we aren't acting the way we should act, whatever it may be, and we realize you don't stop loving us. We sometimes want to run and hide because we choose wrong or whatever it may be. Lord, you're ever loving and you're ever caring, and your grace abounds. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, will you draw us all here at Harvest Fellowship as one person who is giving and sharing and loving and kind and the things that you want us to be, Lord. Can we grow into that people that functions well together to the outside who need your Son, Jesus Christ? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.